Do you ever have cravings to do something that you know is bad for you, but you do it anyway? Would you like to know how to stop doing that? Not that anyone else, not that any of us have had this problem, but we all have things.
Not me.
I have never had a craving in my life. I only do what's good for me. So we all have these things. I shouldn't do that. I want to do it, but I shouldn't do it. Like there's the angel and the devil on the shoulders. And we all are dealing with some version of this in different contexts in our life. How are we going to manage to not continuously reinforce bad habits and let them go? That's what we're getting into today. Welcome to Spiritual Sense. I'm Michael McIntosh, and I'm here with our lovely sister, Shireen. And both.
Hello, brother.
Hello. We've been doing meditation between us for about 60 years and many, many hours of practice. And we've had a good look at our own minds and hearts and feelings over the years and spent a long time dealing with all these things. And it's our great pleasure to share some of the things we've learned with you. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, Shireen. So tell us all about this.
Hello.
Tell us all about what to do with cravings when they arise.
I've never had a problem. I don't know what you're talking.
No, I know, but other people have. So we have to...
Other people have.
Yeah. We've never had anything. We've never had any problems.
So the first one, let's talk about the first one, which is the 90-second rule. The 90-second rule is... if you either have a craving to do something that's not good for you, or you don't want to do something that is good for you. So what research has found out was that it takes about 90 seconds. And it happened by this Jill Taylor, I think is her name. She had a stroke. And she saw, you know, she had this very dramatic thing where she was watching what was happening in her head. And then after she came back from the stroke, then she studied all of this. And what she found was that it takes about 90 seconds, the feeling to last, right? 90 seconds. So let's say you said you will wake up in the morning and meditate. You tell yourself, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this. And you hit the snooze button, right? So this, I'm so tired, I don't want to do this, lasts for about 90 seconds. And we feel that it's the discomfort actually lasts much longer, but actually the discomfort only lasts for 90 seconds. And if we are feeling more discomfort afterwards, right? It's because our thoughts are re-triggering it. Because I continually thinking the same thoughts, it's re-triggering that discomfort, but the actual discomfort only lasts for 90 seconds.
It's very interesting. Yeah, well, let's talk about getting up early, because this is something that, you know, we all do. And ideally, personally speaking, I like to wake up and feel fresh when I wake up. That's what I prefer, to be perfectly honest, right? But that doesn't happen every day because sometimes I don't get enough sleep or sometimes, you know, whatever, whatever. And so I've noticed that if my standard is that I have to feel like ready to go as soon as I wake up, then that may or may not happen in all fairness. But what I've noticed is even if I'm tired, if I get out of bed anyway and I splash water on my face and I wander around, drink some water, and, you know, then I start feeling woken up fairly quickly afterwards. So it doesn't last that long. So if we base our decision about the future on how we feel in the moment, then we are going to be seriously deceived again and again and again. Because
absolutely. You know, I feel that is the difference between people who actually get things done and the people who don't.
Right.
Is they have discovered this 90-second window. So if you've discovered this 90-second window, right, because you are not doing something that's actually good for you, you're interrupting a pattern, you're not creating a habit that's not good for you, because of 90 seconds, the discomfort is just 90 seconds. So if you ride that 90 seconds, right, just tell yourself this 90 seconds, that's it. and you ride the 90 seconds, then you can actually create habits that are good for you, right? All of us want habits that are good for us. Who's getting up in the morning and thinking, oh, I'm going to be a terrible person today and I won't do anything I want to, I set my mind to it. I don't want to do anything. I just want to do this, be a couch potato. Who's getting up thinking that, right? None of us. But we, our best intentions are just sabotaged by these 90 seconds. And so we have to plan for the 90 seconds. There has to be a plan.
Once we expect that's going to be the case, then we know what we're dealing with. And one thing that I personally found helpful is to, let's say I want to do something that's not good for me in whatever context, right? But the normal condition is buckling under pressure, right? You know, let's say I want to watch some random nonsense on the internet, right? And so normally there's like knee-jerk reaction, like I'm feeling discomfort, let me distract myself, right? It's instant, it just happens like that. But if I say, hang on a minute, I'm not going to do that. This discomfort's going to last for about 90 seconds. So then I sit there, it's actually oftentimes better to stand up and walk around and do something else, because if you're sitting there suffering through it, it's a bit unpleasant. But if I say to myself, I've got 90 seconds, and I say to myself, I am noticing that I'm thinking about doing this thing. I'm noticing that I want to like watch a YouTube video, or I'm noticing I want to check the news. I'm noticing that I'm feeling a bit stressed. I'm noticing that. So I'm telling myself, I'm noticing that this is happening, right? What that does is, instead of me being in it, I'm now back here noticing it happen over there. And if I can notice it for 90 seconds or so, then a huge percentage of the discomfort is reduced, a massive amount of it. It's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And for me, the best sign is if I can laugh at it. You know, it's like, if I'm like, oh, I'm noticing that I want to do this thing, or I'm noticing that I'm stressed out about this thing, I'm noticing that I'm worried about this thing, and I start to find it funny, then I'm pretty much on the other side of it fairly quickly. But
right.
But I have to be able to deal with that chunk of time.
I had this 4-step method, which one of the step includes noticing.
Well, there we go. Well, Shireen's always wants 4 steps, you know. I'm always like, give me 1 or 2 steps, but we'll have your 4-step method. Why not?
One is noticing, right?
Yeah.
One is that you name it. First, you name it, right? Even before it happens, you name it. You know, let's say you are doom scrolling at night and you shouldn't be doing doom scrolling and you really want to stop it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sit down now and see how it starts, when it starts, when do you do it, and you name it. You name it. Okay, this is happening.
Like,
right?
What would be a name for it?
Doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling. I'm doom scrolling. Yeah. So you call it.
I'm doom scrolling.
Call it what it is.
Call it what it is and name it. That's the step number one. Step number two is, in that moment, you start noticing, right? This is happening. This is, I'm feeling it. And also, in the noticing, you have to tell yourself, this feeling is going to pass in 90 seconds. Don't feed the feeling. Don't feed the feeling. Be a detached observer. Just know that it's going to pass in 90 seconds. Notice and know it's going to pass. Like, just deeply, you should acknowledge, this is going to pass in 90 seconds. I'm not going to feed it. Third, breathe. Breathe, 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 breathe. People feel that that's too easy, but really breathing and the intentional breathing really helps in situations like this. I take 3-4 deep breaths, breathe in, breathe out, you know, breathe into all the areas of your body and, you know, just relax, right? Don't resist, because breathing is, you're just allowing the body to relax. Because resistance, you will be tight, you know, you'll feel tight. This is your relaxing and your breathing. And the other thing, which is very important, this is where your, you could say, willpower comes into force, is you just tell yourself, the fourth thing is wait. Just tell yourself, 90 seconds, 90 seconds. I'll just wait for 90 seconds. I'm not going to feed it. I'll wait for 90 seconds. I want you to pick something in your life, right, that you are doing that you don't want to do, and I want you to try this method. I promise you it works. So name it, notice, breathe, wait for 90 seconds. That's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. What happens if someone, after doing that, still has a craving?
No, they're still having a craving. I'll tell you in a second. They're still having a craving because their thoughts are re-triggering it, right? Mm-hmm. So because the re-trigger again lasts for another 90 seconds, re-trigger again lasts for 90 seconds. So what science has showed us is that any bad habit, right? And some are so bad for us. Like we have done things in our life which we really shouldn't have been doing. And would you believe it? Any bad habit, it lasts, or any habit that you really want to do something, right, lasts for 10 to 30 minutes, 10 minutes to 30 minutes. And 10 minutes to 30 minutes can actually change or break your life, transform your life for the better or break your life, because they call it surfing. They call it urge surfing, right? The urge comes in, you just surf it, right? You know, like you go to the ocean and you surf, you don't, you know, you stand there and you let the wave come and you let the wave go. It's the same. This wave of desire comes, you want to do it, you urge surf, let it go. Wave of desire comes, you just let it go. That might feel a little difficult because you 30 minutes and you don't want to withstand 30 minutes. That is when I feel spiritual life really helps. That is when you start really remembering you're a soul. You really start taking power from the Supreme Soul. And the best way to urge surf, right? The best way to urge surf is to become a detached observer, become a soul, become a detached observer, and become a companion of the Supreme Soul. So in Hindi, we call it Sati and Sakshi. Sati is I become a companion of the Supreme Soul. I remember who I am and I witness. And what happens is both the witnessing of what is happening, becoming a detached observer, witnessing of what is happening, and being a companion of the Supreme gives power to the soul. And that power helps us urge surf, instead of giving into the urge. Because everything in our lives right now is dependent on these two things, the 90-second window and urge surfing. If we master these two, we can have anything we want in our life. And so this practice, right, this practice of becoming a soul, connecting with the Supreme Soul, becoming a companion, and just feeling the power come into you. And just watching as a detached observer, you feel the power come into you, watch as a detached observer. And that really helps urge surf.
It's true. We need power from something greater than ourselves. Otherwise, it was not going to work. And another thing that's very helpful is that, and this is just from spiritual teaching, that anything negative doesn't belong to us.
That's a very good one, yes.
It's very important. So, for example, let's say there's a bad habit, whatever the habit is, you know, it could be a internal negative thoughts, it could be certain behaviors, could be whatever it is, right? If we have the attitude, my original state is peaceful, loving, happy, pure, powerful, and all the negative stuff is the property of, you could say, the negativity or something outside of me, then I can let it go much more easily. It's only when I hold on to it and say, this is my habit, this is my desire, this is what I want. As soon as I say it's mine, then it's very difficult to let it go. So what's helped me personally is that if I'm noticing something unhelpful that I don't want to do, I kind of watch it and I say, this doesn't belong to me. And I kind of almost imagine this is something that someone else owns and I just happen to have picked it up and I'm sort of like caretaking that behavior, but it's not mine. As soon as I say it's not mine, then it's a lot easier to drop it. You know, it's absolutely much easier. And I almost imagine watching myself as if it is a different person, or it's almost like I'm acting out on behalf of some other person. So it's detached on a practical level. And I'm like, no, this doesn't suit me. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. And so then it's like, well, why am I doing with all this stolen goods, you know, with all these stolen desires? That's really helpful. I find that. And also another thing that's helped me.
What do you mean by stolen desires, Mother?
Well, let's like say, for example, because we've talked about the internet and wasting time on doom scrolling or whatever, right? That interest in wasting time online, I don't feel is like a sincere desire in my heart. It's something that has been programmed into me over the years through various things that I've done myself, plus algorithms, plus companies trying to get me addicted. I'm not a victim of it, but like this isn't something that I've consciously signed up for. Like I haven't like written a vision statement saying, in the next 10 years, I really want to be addicted to the algorithm. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm going to...
Yes, I'll waste hours of time doing it.
I want to waste, you know, so many hours every day for years and years and years. And this is my vision. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch these things like this and this. You know what I mean? I never signed up for this stuff, right? Never signed up for it. So these are not sincere desires that from my heart and soul. These are things that I kind of fell into without meaning to, and then kind of just unconsciously got caught up in it. And so
this is very important what you're sharing. Very important, because it's like we're having a perfectly all right life, right? Moving along. And then suddenly, before we know it, we are doing things we just weren't going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I wasn't thinking about any of these things or wanted any of this stuff. Like, why is this now going on in my head, you know? So it's like, we didn't sign up for it. We kind of got co-opted into these things. And they're done in such a clever way that it kind of gets the limbic system and it kind of gets the better of us. And so... for me, I'm like, this is not mine, it doesn't belong to me. This isn't actually a genuinely an external influence. Like whether it's politics or media or whatever it is, there's external actors trying to get us involved in their agenda and get us pulled into it. And so for me to say, hang on a minute, what do I really want in my life? This isn't something I signed up for. This isn't something I want. I don't like it. And I'm watching it from over here, looking at this thing and going, no. And what I like to do is imagine what my behavior would look like if somebody else did it other than me. If I was watching some different person, so it's nothing to do with me, doing the same thing. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't like that if they were doing it. You know, that would just seem a bit weird. So I don't want to do it. And then another thing that helps is I've done things, and I'm sure we've all done things, that we regretted doing. And then afterwards, we're like, why did I do that? You know, and then there's some regret about it and why I shouldn't have done it and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of jump ahead to that feeling and think, I don't want to have to do that again, where I'm like, oh, damn it, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to come up with new intentions. So I just jump to that kind of sane, because addictive cycles go from like craving to action to, it's the trigger, then the craving, then the action, then the regret, then I'm not going to do it again, then the trigger, then the action, then the, it goes round and round and round. So if I go to the regret phase and the re-intention phase and miss the action, then I'm like, look, how many times, you know, come on, you know, do I really want to have to do this again? We've already gone through this enough times now. So these are things. So I imagine someone else doing it. It's nothing to do with me. Get to the regret, realize it's urge surfing. And I think out of all these things, imagining someone else doing that and seeing it outside of me, I think is one of the most powerful things. Because I'm like, that's not something that I'm actually interested in personally. It's just something that I've got caught up in. And I also feel that there is like an energy field, a spiritual energy field going around that we can tap into that kind of sucks us into it. Like a psychic field.
Yeah. Because there's so much of it going on around us now, right?
Yeah.
They're getting better and better. The algorithms are getting better and better. And
it's like, yeah, it's a real thing. I think there's the psychic warfare is a real thing, you know, like the evil spirits. I don't mean to like make it some woo-woo thing, but like there are energy fields. And if enough people are thinking about things and doing things, then it creates an energetic force, energetic, you know, vibration. And we just
absolutely
prod it a little bit and suck it. And then we become, we become under the influence of that temporarily. And then we come out the other end and go, what the hell was that all about?
Right. You know, I want to share something about psychic stuff, right? Mm. So American football or any football, never interested, right? Never interested. And so one time in Super Bowl, several times in the Super Bowl, the city I live in, they came to the final of the Super Bowl, okay. Right? And then this one time, anyway, I've never watched it, never wanted to watch it, but because it was in the Super Bowl, it was the finals, everyone was talking about it, right? And the match was happening at night and I always needed to get up in the morning, so I'm going to bed early. So I went to bed early, don't even have a TV. At that time, you needed to have a TV to watch it. Don't have a TV, not interested. And I went to bed early. Sometime around 12 o'clock, I woke up and I knew that's our city won. Just the energy, I could feel it. It's not like anyone told me I watched the TV or, you know, none of that stuff. I could just feel it that our city won the Super Bowl. And later I found out it did because the energy field, right? Like you're feeling it. It's all around.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing.
And this whole algorithm and what companies want you to do and what's going on, it's such a real thing.
There's real powerful forces and evil forces hard at work, and they're a real thing. And so it's not just like us versus our lack of willpower. It's not as straightforward. That the kind of the general message or narrative is that if you do anything wrong, it's because you lack willpower and there's something wrong with you. Realistically, we're dealing with some serious evil forces that have massive power trying to get the better of us.
Absolutely. And they are spending billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah. And they get better and better and better every year. And they've already got us with an in various ways. And everyone figures out what the best kind of like entrance way in is. And this is a serious situation that we're dealing with. So we need every possible angle we can to block all these things to stop it happening.
Yeah. And from our heart, right, we should all feel, and I hope all of you listening, feel this from your heart. I need to not do this. I need to not do whatever it is that is going on, because I feel compassion even for myself, right? because it is so, its force is so many, so much greater than me that are playing. And then I've had 30 odd years of meditation and it's still getting me. So imagine how anyway everyone else is feeling. And so from our heart, we should feel no more, right? And put some of these practices that we've shared into effect, and it will make a difference. Just try. Don't give up, right? Don't think, oh, I'm a bad person. Because guilt, actually, this is another thing that I want to talk about. Guilt makes us do really random, stupid stuff. No need to feel guilty. Okay, you slipped, fine. New day, right minute, new minute. Don't even a new day. Next minute is a new minute and lets me start over again. Don't feel guilty about it, right? There has to be this radical self-forgiveness for whatever has happened and we move forward. Because that radical self-forgiveness actually is a very deep transformative force. And so forgive yourself, just move forward and do some of the exercises. Just do it, even if it's a few times. Because one of the things I feel people feel is if they're motivated, they will do it. But actually, that's not true. Actions lead to motivation. Motivation doesn't lead to action. Action leads to motivation.
It's true. Yeah, there's a whole book on this, a motivation myth. It's also important to, just coming back to something else you said just a minute ago, to seal up any slips that we've had, put it in an envelope, put a box around it as a one-off thing that doesn't leak out into your sense of well-being, into all other areas of your life. Because if I do something wrong, then I need to say, okay, that was a problem. What can I learn from this and move on back in the game, right? If I say, oh, well, I did this stupid thing, what does it matter if I do another stupid thing now because I already did it? That's when it gets out of hand. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I did it so I can just do more of it because this is, and then I'm guilty of, and then it becomes a completely ridiculous situation. And I think that kind of gets the better off. So we say, what can I learn from this? Okay, I love myself. It doesn't, that's not who I am. That's just something that I happen to do because of this situation. Now let me come back to my standards again quickly. Otherwise it can lead to a serious problem, relapse or whatever you want to call it. So that's important. Absolutely. You know, otherwise it gets, because I've noticed in myself, if I do one thing wrong, my part of me says, well, I might as well do it again then. <You know? laughs> I mean, I've already done it, so why not, you know? And then that causes a habit. You know? It normally comes into pairs.
Right. It's true even for, like, when you're on a diet, right?
Yeah.
And you have a weakness. Like, let's say I have a weakness for bread. I think, oh, I just ate one slice. I might as well eat.
You've already eaten one. You might as well have another one, you know.
Might as well eat another one.
And then the next day you think, well, I did it yesterday, so I might as well. It's not that big a deal. It didn't ruin my life that badly. So we have to say, hang on a minute. No, that's just a slip. Let me come back on the program and not make a big deal about it. So, yeah, these are all very, very deep things, but the key thing is oftentimes 90 seconds is the key thing. But also, if we go back a step, how can we avoid that 90-second problem coming up in the first place? Because that's this more, even more sensible approach is like, if I know, for example, right, recently I've been off media for like 5 months mostly, and I, for some reason, decided that I was now cured of media problems. So I could, I've been off of this stuff for 5 months, so I can watch like a YouTube video or a movie or whatever, and it doesn't really make much difference, right? That's the classic justification. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to look at my Instagram app, right? And that had all kinds of terrible stuff on it, as I'm sure people are aware. And I realized, I'm like, why do I have Instagram on my phone anyway, to be perfectly honest, right? So that I just deleted it off the phone so that even if I think of clicking it, I can't go on there, right? Because a lot of the time, if we get rid of the thing in the first place, then we're not going to do it, right? Like if there is, if someone has a tendency, say, for example, to drink alcohol, and they know they shouldn't, and they know it's bad for them, then they shouldn't have a full bar in their house. Do you know what I mean? It's not helpful to be walking past this, all the different nice-looking bottles or whatever it is that they have, winking at them all the time. It's better to get rid of it. So if we have to deal with that 90-second issue, fair enough. But what can we do before that even happens so that that trigger itself is less likely to show up in the first place?
But even if it do, right, 90 seconds just seems to happen.
That's true. It happens anyway.
The discomfort is there. The discomfort is definitely there. And so wait the discomfort out, right? Notice the discomfort, wait it out, name it. Tell yourself it's 90 seconds and just wait it out. And if it is longer, then you need to urge surf. Urge surf with becoming a detached observer, taking power and just wait it out. Like, see if you don't do it, right? What I've noticed with any pattern is the urge surfing. It's not like for the rest of your life you have to urge surf. 2-3 weeks at the most, you will need to urge surf, and after that, you'll be fine. You will not have the urge to do it.
It's true. Yeah, once the monsters get fed, then it takes a couple of weeks to get them to give up again. It's true. And another thing that can help, which I learned from therapists who talk about addictions and whatever else, is to get an ice cube or put cold water on your face or hold an ice cube in your hand or put an ice cube at the back of your neck or something. Because when you get into something cold or change the temperature, it often changes the state because your attention is gone from whatever you are to this cold thing. So you could try that as well. Just get hold a cold thing, grab something out of the freezer and just hold on to it. And of course, if you're in a situation where you're wanting to do something online or whatever it is, get away from the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, to just shut it down and do something else, because just sitting there suffering through it isn't a bit unnecessary, really, if you can move away.
And out of all of this, right, yes, they are 90 seconds, and yes, you know, urge surfing is there, and yes, you know, do little actions and see how motivation will show up, and all of that is there. But ultimately, the first step is in your heart. You shouldn't want this. It can't be, oh, I want it, but I don't want it. I want it, but I don't want it. Right? In your heart, you should really feel, okay, I don't need this. I don't want this. This is really not helping my life. It's actually sabotaging my life, and I could be such a better person. And the feeling, right? The feelings you have about yourself are very important. And those feelings you have about yourself, there are no shortcuts. If you do negative things, then you will have negative feelings because your whole identity is based on your actions. It's not fixed. Your identity is not fixed. If you do certain actions, then you will feel a certain way, and then you will feel bad about yourself. You'll feel guilty. You will feel all of those things, shame, which are not very good things. And then before you know it, it's like a really negative spiral. So in your heart, you should feel, no, I don't want this. This got heavy very quickly.
Yeah. because anything to do with addictions, bad habits, it's a big... And the thing is, oftentimes it takes a certain... distance from it to really feel that, you know, because in the moment there is a desire for something. Like I recently, as I mentioned, got off of all media completely, and I think after about 2 months of it, I was like, this is so toxic and it's really been so bad for me. But I didn't really feel that fully until I had enough space from it, you know. So there's a certain, even though I knew it intellectually and I could feel it, but like there's a certain amount of time when we can clearly see what we're dealing with from a higher place, and that there's no way around that time to kind of get that clarity. So yeah, and it's not, and most of these things are not, don't belong to us. We've been programmed into them by outside forces, and so we think this is my genuine desire, but really it isn't. It's just something that we picked up from the field. So yeah, this is a bit of a heavy topic, but there we have it. So there it is. Good luck, everybody. And of course, end of the day, we need God's help and divine power, because otherwise we're not going to be able to get out of these things, which is why we do meditation and remember God. All right, let's have a blessing before this gets too
heavy. So I picked a random page, right? Yeah, I picked a random page. Uh-huh. And the blessing is this.
Okay.
This is God's blessing for you. Lightness.
Ah, to overcome the
You've
heaviness.
You've stilled your mind. Okay, this is God's blessing for you. Lightness. You've stilled your mind by cultivating the ability to receive God's guidance. As you've opened yourself to this divine communion, His love has lightened your burdens. This spiritual practice is your refuge, a beacon of lightness amidst the chaos.
Thank you.
Om Shanti.
Yeah. Wishing everyone success and freedom. Lots of love. And we'd love to hear your comments. What did you learn? What can you use? And we'll talk to you soon. Many blessings.